Radio.
Hi, welcome to My Dog Psychology Radio Show. My name is Dale McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you. On today's show, I'm going to be continuing my discussion on why it is that the dog training world is in such a mess. And when I say mess, that's an understatement, really. I'm going to talk today about some of the issues associated with why it's in such a mess, how it can actually get better. But people have to face off on some really difficult truth, and it's really difficult truth based on how society is thinking right now, and that's really the problem here. And so what I have to say about the, you know, about dog training and what it really is relationally is going to be highly offensive to probably just about everybody, okay? I mean, what it does is people have to understand. It brings the focus onto the person, onto the dog owner, but not in a feelings-type way that many people are trying to package this all up. And I've focused lately on talking about Jeff Gelman and about his latest kind of morphing or evolving views on training. And I'm kind of using Jeff here as an example. And I don't want people to take this wrong, because, like I said, this is the whole identity thing here. This is where, you know, I can, you know, you look at my videos, and I do name names, but it's meant to be more as a type. It's not, I'm not going in and getting personal with these people. However, my attitude is, if you're going to get on stages and promote training as something that it's not, okay, and try to elevate yourself up, and you're seeking identity through this ideology, then you have to be aware that someone's simulator is going to call you on it if they show that this the tenet itself is flawed, which it is. Okay, I'll just make that point. And so what I show with training is, it's a relational changing process. It's not a learning-based exercise. And the majority, and I mean the majority of trainers at some level, have come into agreement with treating it as a learning-based exercise. And my point is, just because they can get away with it themselves based on their personality type doesn't mean the people coming to them are going to be so fortunate, and the dogs. Okay, that's the main point here. People really miss the point, because there are some twists and turns. Just understand, based on what's seen from the surface, based on appearances, based on this narrative and this interpretive script at the physical level, which throws a lot of people off. So just the, and this is my other point, just because you have a lot of education doesn't vaccinate you from having your legs taken out based on how a dog's decision-making process is influenced at the relational level. Okay, that's a key point. So when I'm going in talking about people like Gelman, just understand, I'm making a point. Okay, about people who are going in and trying to become popular off this ideology, and they're all over the place. So in the real issue here, they're not identifying the problem. I mean, they're not pinning it down, and this is why you'll see them change their positions. And if you look at Gelman and, say, Sean O'Shea, both of them, they work alongside each other to promote training through, like, these motivational type of speaking type tours to motivate people. If you look at, you know, how they, where they came from or who they looked to inspire them based on how they approached training, it was Cesar Millan. I mean, they've met with Cesar Millan. Cesar Millan is their kind of mentor, so to speak, and they take their, you know, they mold themselves after Cesar. This is why they're pack dog trainers. This is why you see them with using a pack of dogs, and you'll see a lot of dogs within these groupings. But again, I get into the dynamics involved even with a pack of dogs, why that's a problem based on how those dynamics play off a dog's decision-making process. And you get into this thing about how dogs communicate, and you get into social hierarchy. There's layers of issues here. But again, getting specific about what the real issue is this flawed tenet based on dog state of mind, and tying that into how the script comes together at the response level, what motivates the dog's decision-making process using certain concepts, using treats, and how that all packages up relationally, and what happens, the end result with unwanted behavior, not diminishing. And this is where you get all these dogs getting the blame, okay? There must be something wrong with the dog. It's a mess, because ultimately it's how training is approached right out of the starting gate, right out of the starting gate. And so, again, getting back to Gelman, you know, I've watched a couple of his recent Periscope things he's putting on, just for interest's sake, to kind of see this, what he's doing, this whole morphing, how he's explaining it. It's very clear, and don't get me wrong, it's very clear that it's about trying to become something that, you know, he's trying to change everything around a little bit to become popular, to make people feel good about themselves. It's still feelings based. It's still like a self. It's like a Tim Robbins type of motivational thing he's doing here. But my question is, what's wrong with feeling bad? Okay, I mean the way the human condition is, we live in a fallen world, and this is just an example of just how fallen this world is based on our relationship with dogs. What's wrong with feeling bad if it changes, if it brings about restoration? Okay, I mean, this is the same thing. You have to own, just like I tell my kids. If you don't own it, if you don't truly come into right relationship, you don't truly own the problem, then real change can't happen. That's like people don't apologize for their what they've done, and they just move forward. Well, I can pretty much guarantee you that same issue is going to happen again. Whatever the issue is going to happen again. So, but again, the question is, what's wrong with feeling bad if it means change? So, this issue of, you know, turning it into making people feel good, okay, it's a problem. And don't get me wrong, you know, it's become too much of that. It's almost like people are so scared to tell people the truth now. Everything's so politically correct. We can't move on. There's no facing off on what the real problem is. You're not actually confronting the real issue. You know, it's just like fighting your enemy. If you don't identify who the enemy really is, how do you fight them? And that's my same example here. If you're not identifying what the real problem is, okay, when it comes to dog training, how do you fix the big issue? Because I'm a big picture guy. I mean, ultimately, if you love the truth, and this is another key point here, if you love the truth, you're going to make a trade. You're going to make the trade-offs needed, necessary to find the truth. But the problem here is so many people don't love the truth, okay, that they're, you know, their real motives as to say doing the things they're doing, it's based on a lie. You know, it's based on self, and beyond that, I'm going to talk about this on some of my future shows here, this whole issue of idolatry. I mean, people really, because if you're trying to figure this stuff out, some of this stuff, these twists out as to why people will say the things they do and keep moving on, even though the truth is right in front of their face, in a secular way, you're not gonna be able to come to grips with it. Okay, this issue is about idolatry at both ends, okay, whether you're an owner or a trainer. You know, this is about identity. This issue really ties into identity and idolatry. And I'll talk about that on a couple of shows here to really kind of layer this up for people. Because I can talk about, you know, on these shows why the dog training world is in such a mess. You know, I focus in on what the specific issue is here when as it relates to learning and how that, you know, the part that plays in or ties into a dog's decision-making process. But when people ignore the truth, which they're doing, and in fact, I put a video out, and I really encourage you to go into my videos. In fact, I put out a series of videos called Flipping the Script, where I'm basically turning everything upside down, or what I'm doing is I'm turning it all right side up for people. And I'm showing, you know, I'm exposing the issue through different promoters of this ideology. And one of the videos is one I put out to Karen Pryor, who is a big advocate of clicker training. Okay, she's a big promoter of clicker training. If you type her name in, do a search on Karen Pryor, her school will come up. And in one of my videos, I make a point about a colleague of hers who worked alongside her, Gary Wilkes. And Gary Wilkes put out an article just recently. It caused a lot of controversy. It's called Real Clicker Training. And he confronts this issue. In fact, he names Karen Pryor and names her, basically exposing her as a fraud. And I highlight this article. I show right in there where he comes right out and says that she misrepresented herself and her ideology at dog training conferences where he was actually a speaker, where he actually took part in these alongside with her. And what he's saying is that she is never the dog, her personal dog, she used as a kind of a standard or an example. She would speak to the crowd about what a dog could do through this. Gary Wilkes said that's a complete joke. I mean, anyone knows Karen Pryor, knows her dog. I mean, if the dog seen a squirrel, the dog was gone. I mean, she misrepresented herself. And he said she continues to do so today, 20 years. So here's the point. And this is a couple points here, okay? The article came out. Now, no one had to tell me that this is no surprise to me, okay? I knew, I've known this for years about just in general. You can line people up. You know, they're, again, it's just like these people are basically types. I mean, their identity's lost in this ideology. But you can line these people up, and you're going to have the same, I mean, that's what they're doing. Okay, they're exploiting learning theory to such a level that these dogs are getting the blame, okay? And the people who are buying into it, the dog owners, are basically, they're no different. You know, you talk about this issue of idolatry. Well, it's part and parcel of the same on both sides. You know, there's buyers and sellers of this stuff. But this article came out, you know, how the people responded to it really highlights what I'm saying. Because ultimately, nothing's stopping, okay? I mean, people just move on. They look at that and they just brush it off. They just shake it off like it's no big deal. And that's the point here, because you're dealing with this at a whole different level. It consumes people. It's about people's identity. They have their identity. Their identity is intertwined in this ideology. You know, just like the permissive parent. You know, the permissive parent, they can't separate themselves away from the child. They're vested. Okay, they're mirroring their emotions through the relationship. So that's why you can't separate the child from the parent. The permissive parent, it's idolatry. So if you go after one, are you going after both? And so it doesn't end. So, but ultimately, it's very destructive. And in the end, the real issue doesn't get fixed. But going back to Karen Pryor, it's, again, this shows you how people can, and there's a turning over process to this stuff, too. I want people to understand, and I'll talk about more of this on a different show, getting into that side of things. But when you refuse and you try to shake off the truth, this is why I say nature's amazing to me, because it sets things in motion so that if you refuse to surrender to nature, if you refuse to turn your thinking over or come to the end of yourself, then you're turned over to it. Okay, this is a really profound point here about this stuff. You're turned over to it because it's going to appear to fit. Okay, a lot of stuff will appear to fit, even though there's clues here that's not fitting. Okay, it gives you enough rope to hang yourself, basically. So it'll appear to fit, but it doesn't fit. Okay, but it will appear to because of this issue of appearances, this scripting problem. So all these dynamics, what they do is they all play off each other. But it's all about how people think. And it's about this issue of character. So while, you know, I go further with this to say, well, you come to a point of making a personal decision with, and just like science, I talk about this issue of science, why this isn't science. Well, science is the same thing. When people take science and they're trying to take it to answer some bigger questions about, say, is there intelligence at work when it comes to creation, to say, is there a God? Ultimately, this is where all this ends up. If you keep going with it, okay. If you just, you know, people, because we're spiritual beings, okay. We're creating God's image. So we're image bearers. So here, ultimately, it all ends up there to say, well, is there a God? And what this issue has shown me, you know, because again, I'll talk about this on some other shows here, is it's kind of solidified my faith. I mean, it just shows there's no accidents and coincidences here at all. It's very deep and profound, but there has to be a surrendering process, okay? The people who are really promoting this ideology, they're not surrendered. They're in absolute opposition to nature. And this is why you get all the anger, all the frustration, the issue with dogs. It just circles around. It never ends. And then you get these, you know, millions of dogs being killed every year. Well, again, you know, relationally, dogs are in our lives to show us something more. That's my point. They are. They're relational beings. And if we're seeking truth, you know, everything will point a certain direction. It will. And so getting back to this thing with Karen Pryor, yeah, it's, you know, you see my videos I put out, I'm showing, you know, I'm putting them out there. People can look at it. People can accept and reject whatever they want. I mean, people can look at my stuff and say whatever they want, but it's out in the open. Okay, everything I show is very transparent. There's no hidden agenda here at all. You know, yes, it's very challenging, and this is the problem with people. It becomes crystallized, and you think a certain way for a certain period of time, for years. And once you cross certain lines, this is the other issue. Once you make that decision to cross certain lines to say, you know what, I'm going to medicate this dog, or this dog must be something genetically wrong with it. You'll do everything except, I mean, you'll dance around a campfire. You'll do everything. You'll light candles. You'll dance around a campfire. You'll do everything except promote leadership or come in the right relationship. Okay? Because, again, it's about self. It's self-love. So this issue about motives, this is why people get really angry with what I have to say, because I bring it fully out in the light. Okay? I expose motives, people's true intentions. And I'm exposing this false narrative. Of course people are going to hate it because they don't want people to know what's really going on here. Okay, they want to be deceived because, again, take it right back to idolatry. That's what it is. It absolutely is. And so so people can't, you know, be honest with themselves. I mean, the thing is, we have to have an honest conversation here. If we want to fix the big problem, we have to have an honest conversation. And this is where it goes back to these balanced trainers. This is why I should say there's no such thing as balanced training. It's just a state of confusion. You know, training is either a relational changing process or it's not. It's an intervention, period. That's what it is. So anything that tries to frame it up some other way, and typically it's about coming into agreement at a certain level with this learning-based narrative, you're opening the door up to be deceived, okay? You're allowing this issue of the scripting problem to come into the equation. This is the thing people have to understand here. So even balanced trainers, yes, they will be more successful based on their corrective, model based on what, you know, influence represents. And we'll talk about this whole issue of influence and even defining, making the distinction between corrective and relational influence and the issue of change. But trainers who are balanced and using a corrective level of influence, yes, they're going to be more successful. Okay, then the outright behavioralist who uses treats and clickers to pivot from, because they're following along this anti-dominance ideal agenda, but it's mind and body. So what they're doing is they're setting they're allowing this scripting problem to fully come in. And so if you look at a chart, you can even track this stuff. If you look at and take it from the point of what training really is, because that's what it is anyway. That's what's happening whether you see it or not. It's a relational changing process. So if you take it and draw a line right from the point of it being that to balanced training, and then you go further over onto the other side with, say, food and clicker trainers, you'll see the risk levels increase of this scripting problem. Okay, they're going to go way up. In fact, they'll go up very high. And my point is, those who are not looking at the scripting problem are making assumptions about a dog's state of mind, which absolutely oftentimes are flat out wrong. Okay, change isn't actually happening. Even though you get a picture of change, everything looks fantastic, the unwanted behaviors is absolutely not diminishing. Okay, but you're not going to get a sense of that in these controlled environments where it's set up to paint that picture. That's the thing you have to understand. When you go back out into the real world, back home with your dog, and you say, well, nothing's changed, well, don't be surprised, okay? Because change comes in and through the person. You know, this narrative, this learning-based narrative, it shifts the focus onto the dog, okay? The dog, you're having problems with behavior problems with the dog because you're not changing. That's the point. Okay, you're already staying on the wrong side of nature. Okay, you're very much emotionally invested in your dog, and you're not reconciling how you're thinking. And dogs know that. But the depth of this connection blows people away because, if what I show is true, right, it turns everything upside down. It's like a snare. It's a stumbling stone for basically everybody. But that's what's going on. So no one should be surprised. You step back and say, well, why do we have, like, things are getting worse. We get all these millions of dogs being killed. We've got these remote collar bans spreading. We got these breed-specific bans spreading. It's about how people are thinking. People are not in right relationship. People's attitudes are wrong. So, they're not meeting dogs' relational needs. That's what's happening. They're out of right relationship. And, you know, the issue about, you know, going back to balanced training, why I give balanced training as much of a hard time as I will food and clicker trainers, because it's all one and the same, okay? Either you're identifying the real problem or you're not. And if the problem's going to be fixed, right, then the real issue has to be identified. I mean, that's my point. If the real issue isn't being identified, how do you ever expect to fix this problem, even though it's some tough truth, isn't going to happen, okay? Just never is not going to happen, not for a very, very long time. Not until more people start to look at, say, what I show and start to really challenge, this ideology. Because that's why you'll get, and that's why, you know, when you look at these balanced trainers, I mean, they seem very desperate to want to be popular or go on television. I've seen some of them on there, even with Cesar Millan and other people. But then what happens is that this ideology, and you'll see it on one of my Cesar Millan clips I put out there, using that as an example. Cesar Millan went on a show over in the United Kingdom, and one of these hosts really tried to beat up on him, based on this ideology, probably physical force, and Cesar Millan choking dogs and kicking dogs and all sorts of craziness. And Cesar Millan he couldn't put a stop to it the way that it needed to be, like by focusing in on the real problem, focused in on learning theory, and because ultimately that's what you have to have a conversation about and say, well, the host, you have to say, hold on here a second. Okay, you're saying these things, but based on the idea that, you know, that you can train, you know, dogs can be taught, that you dogs can learn, you can learn your way. Well, let's talk about that. That's what needs to happen. That's how it gets shut down. To say, no, well, you're actually telling the host you're actually misrepresenting physical force. Dogs are relational beings, and let's talk about physical force and start to define it relationally. That's how you stop this stuff. But Cesar can't do that because that's not how Cesar isn't identifying the real problem. It's about celebrity. It's about popularity. So Cesar will use his popularity, celebrity, and just by saying, well, I'm not going to say bad things. I'm just going to be positive and move on. Well, you can do that, okay, to a certain level. But here's the problem. As this ideology gets more popular, as this gets legislated, which is what's happening now over in the United Kingdom, and it's not being the real problem isn't being identified, even by balanced trainers. Sooner or later, you're going to be overrun. Okay, you're not going to be able to push beyond it just because you're trying to turn, like Jeff Gelman is trying to turn this into some sort of a motivational exercise to make people feel good about themselves. I say, well, people need to feel bad about themselves here, okay, for a moment to fix this issue, to bring the focus on to the real issue, onto the person, and let's get it fixed. But that isn't going to happen because the current climate, okay, how society is, isn't wanting that, okay? This is why people just push beyond this issue. I put the information out there, but it's not going to happen until more people take this serious and start to focus in on what the real problem is. That's my point. And I'm going to be, like I said, I'll be doing a part three here. I'll be talking about this issue. You know, why is the dog training world is in such a mess? My next show, I'm going to get into rescue organizations. I'm going to talk about service dog training. I'm going to talk about making, you know, what is influence, you know, make a distinction between corrective and relational, about communication, how dogs communicate. So I'm going to be talking about some good things here, and bring it back into this issue of turning this around, saying, even though this is very negative, it seems very negative, what I have to say, I want to make a point. There's good people out there, okay? I mean, this isn't, you know, I'm focusing on in on the problem here, but there's good people. There's people that do love truth. And I would encourage you, you're listening to my shows, is don't want to stop from, this is very good people. I'm very challenging for people. It's how it's packaged up. For example, when I sit down with a dog owner, I don't have this conversation that negative at all. You know, for example, I'm looking, I'm seeing on appearance, you know, right away I get them going, and they start feeling good because even I reconcile the reaction to how the dog reacts. But it's not over the top. It's not meant to be aggressive. When you think about an intervention, my techniques I use are not like pinning dogs. It's all technique. It's all about how you communicate, which I'm going to talk about in these other shows. So it's done in such a way that it's very much is transitional. It's meant to be take the smoothest path forward as possible. Okay, yes, influence is needed, but it's how it comes online which helps to keep it very at a very you know, level state. It's not meant to be out of control. And all the techniques are done very smart. It's about focus. So everything's about control. And for example, you know, in 20 years I've only been bitten one time. Okay, and it wasn't even the dog I was even handling. It was a dog that got loose in somebody. So, because it's about doing it smart. Okay, all my stuff is very controlled. It's done in a very smart way, but it's very intentional. So you can look at, you know, what I do, and you can plot, you can chart your course forward. You can see how the relationship moves from point A to point B. So it all moves forward. But it's making sure this issue I'm talking about, the scripting problem, doesn't come onto the scene right out of the starting gate. You don't want, because ultimately the question is, do you really want to fix your dog? I mean, do you want to be deceived? Do you want to waste your time, you know, for months, or do you want to spend money that that you don't have and waste your time? Well, no. I mean, that's the point here. I mean, why would you want to invest time, invest money in something that you may or may not work. And that's, so it's about being intentional. It's shutting this issue down right from the start. I mean, that's what matters. I mean, there's so much deception out there. There's so many trainers that are caught up in appearances. And if they're coming into agreement with learning, even at a small level, then one can assume that they're deceived. Okay, that's the point. Because they're not looking at this issue. If you look at this issue I show and say there's a scripting problem, then you're not going, if there's a better way, you're not going to do it. Okay, that's my point. Why would you even mess around with it? Why would you use counter conditioning and all these other things, even though they sound very scientific, right? But they're not, okay? It's built on a lie. It's built on deception. So anyway, encourage you to check out my shows. I have lots of, you know, great videos that are free. You can go to my website. If you need help with your dog, I'm here to help people. So this matter, there's a Skype option available. So you can, you know, you can talk to me through Skype. I'm able to get you on the right track. If you live in Florida, I'm here. You know, lots of training options available based on a as-needed basis. So you're going to save money. You're going to get the right information. And, yeah, I encourage you to check out my guides, too, training guides on my website. And they're very helpful as well. So, anyway, encourage you to check out everything. Encourage you to check out my next show. And take care, and I hope you have a wonderful day.